All right, ladies, let's be real. Who here actually enjoys shaving their legs? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought so. And get this, Nair, yes, Nair, the OG that I used for years, has now leveled up. And they have these new sensational shower creams and body creams that smell amazing. My personal favorite, coconut oil and vitamin E because it's gentle on my skin. And down to that body cream scent, baby, rich cocoa butter and vitamin E. A modern take on indulgent and classic femininity. Smell for yourself. Try the reformulated Nair body and shower creams available at retailers nationwide and online.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
You don't really know somebody till you live with them.
No truer statement.
Dead ass.
Dead ass. I am an advocate for shacking up. Mama don't kill me. But that's what we did. And it worked. Dead ass. Hey, I'm Kadeen.
And I'm DeVal.
And we're the Ellises.
You may know us from posting funny videos with our boys.
And reading each other publicly as a form of therapy.
Wait, I make you need therapy?
Most days.
Wow.
Oh, and one more important thing to mention, we're married.
Yes, sir, we are. We created this podcast to open dialogue about some of life's most taboo topics.
Things most folks don't want to talk about.
Through the lens of a millennial married couple. Deadass is a term that we say every day. So when we say deadass, we're actually saying facts. 100. The truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. We about to take pillow talk to a whole new level.
Deadass starts right now.
Story time. This is when, take us back to 2016, right? Yeah. Before Kyra was born.
Okay.
We had moved back to our apartment in New York. Mm-hmm. Money was tight. Wasn't low, money was tight. We had a plan on moving out, so we were trying to save money, blah, blah, blah. Kadeen and I had gotten into a huge argument because I had looked at the American Express bill and she had spent, I think it was something like $600 at Starbucks 1 month.
It was crazy.
The reason why I remember $600 was because you had went to Starbucks practically like every day and it was 30 days in a month and it was about $20 you spent at Starbucks. So I was like, yo, this is $600 on Starbucks.
Right? Likely story.
So I went through every single itemized thing of that Kadeen had spent, right? And her argument was that a lot of the stuff that she bought was for the house. And I was just like, well, that's because you like to live a certain way. I don't need that. I could rough it. I'm good. Mm-hmm. So Kadeen said, oh, really?
Say less, my Negro.
Say less. So I go to the bathroom. After about a couple of days going to the bathroom, I noticed that the toilet paper has changed. There's no more Charmin. It's straight single ply toilet paper, right? And the shit hard, like loose leaf paper. So now my asshole is sore because I'm using the single ply sandpaper toilet paper and I'm like, ooh, ah, ah.
Because you know this nigga will take a shit about 3, 4, 5 times a day.
I have a very high metabolism. Very high metabolism.
Like straight on some puppy type shit.
So I poop
literally
like 3, 4 times a day. So my shit is on fire. So now I got my little extra money. I buy A&D ointment, right? And I'm just trying to make sure my booty good, right? So one day I go into Kay's closet because she had her own closet. Me being the husband I am, make sure she got her own closet with her shoes and stuff. She had a walk-in closet, right? I walk in there to get something. What do I find in the corner? Charmin toilet paper. So Shorty was not only having me go out here with the raw ass, right? I'm walking around with the raw ass. She hiding Charmin toilet paper in her closet. So I'm like, oh, this is what we doing? So what we doing now? All right, so I go to the bathroom one day. I take an extra long shower, right?
Petty Pendergrass.
Extra long shower. I'm in the shower. And Kadeen's like, I'm trying to get in there, right? So I get out the shower. I'm feeling good. I feel great, right? Get out the shower. While I'm laying there on the bed, I'm counting it down. 3, 2, 1. Damn out! I'm like, what happened? She said, you use all my fucking hair products? I said, correction, I didn't use it. I just flushed it down the toilet. And she's like,
now he's wasting money, y'all. Wasting money on my good hair products. My good up stuff, you know.
And that started the petty wars.
I wanna love you.
Oh.
And treat you right. I wanna love you. Every day and every night we'll be together. Yeah. With a roof right over our heads, we'll share the shelter of my single bed. Until Devout wants to complain to me about his raw ass.
You wrong for that, bro. How you gonna have a man walking around here with his raw ass, bro?
You know what?
Let's I'm a grown man walking around here.
So we can dissect that story time, all right?
Like a cowboy.
Let's go.
Cheeks is on fire.
Let's go pay some bills and we'll come back to this dissect story time and explain what was going on. All right, y'all.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV true crime podcast, To Live and Die in L.A. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how, I don't know where, I don't know what. God, if you show me, God, if you tell me, God, no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, and we're back, y'all. So about this toilet paper situation and the hair supplies, okay?
I'm still tight.
She got real petty real quick.
I'm still tight.
Okay? But the best part about it was, well, two things. My mom.
I'm glad you laughing.
Coming to the apartment. Do you remember when my mom came to the apartment?
How could I forget?
And she used the bathroom, right?
Oh, my gosh.
Right? And
I know he was going.
This was shortly after DeVal was having his episode with the cardboard ass toilet paper, right? My mother came by one day and she was helping, you know, with the kids and stuff like that and whatnot. And I remember her being in the bathroom and screaming out, "Kadeen!" As only Mimi can call my name that way. Mm. And I was like, "What's the matter? What happened? What kind of toilet paper is this you bought?"
Exactly.
I'm here trying to wipe myself and my hand just busts through the paper like that.
Exactly. Exactly.
I was like, "Ma."
Exactly.
What kind of force were you trying to wipe yourself? You know, yeah, like,
sis. I don't know what's happening, you know what there. I mean? But I feel
like,
her.
Was it necessary? And she was like, "Where you find this toilet paper? Why? What? Where's the Charmin? Where's the this one here? What is going on with this toilet paper?" I'm like, "Well, what's going on with you and DeVal? Y'all got stock in Charmin? Everybody's so concerned about Charmin."
You know, You be the main one wrapping the toilet paper around your hand,
that
wrapping
a mad lie. Time,
and then just pat, dumping
because
it in there.
The Charmin, yo. You don't necessarily need to be wrapping.
But you be wrapping.
I don't be wrapping, Javal. I don't be wrapping.
How many cubes on average you use to wipe? How many cubes on average?
On average, I would say, depending on the day, depending on what's happening, okay? It could be 4 to 5.
You're
it could
lying,
be seven
son.
To eight.
You're lying.
It depends on
no,
the situation.
Guys, she's lying. I know because I count my cubes. I use no more than 5 cubes of toilet paper to wipe, son, because I fold. If you go into the bathroom
folding?
After me, I be folding the cubes to make sure that I get the most maximum usage. I go in there sometimes after you, yo, it be a whole half a roll in there, and all she
true.
Did was pee, son.
That be your kids.
Nah, son.
Well, first of all, you haven't had a vagina, so until you know what it takes to wipe one, don't talk to me about how many cubes I use.
Touche. But I do know it can't take you more than 3 cubes to pat that cat. You got to pat the cat with 3 cubes. You can't use more than 3 cubes.
Pat
you're being wasteful.
That's a whole
pat
slogan.
The cat 3 cubes. Pat the cat 3 cubes. Pat the cat with 3 cubes. Say pat the cat with 3 cubes. That's all you need. That's all. It's going to be a new rule in the house. Put up there.
Well, I'm the only girl in the house now, so nobody's going to be clocking my toilet paper usage at all. What you need to check is your little boys who be doing a whole lot of rolling out now, too.
It don't be my boys. It be
but
Cass.
It was the best when my mom was literally like, "What kind of toilet? The way when I wipe myself, the way my hand busts through the paper like that." And I was like, "Ma, okay, first of all, TMI. Go wash your hands before you." Like, "Did you even leave the bathroom yet? Go wash your hands, sis." Then her and DeVal proceed to have a conversation about me and this bum-ass toilet paper that I got.
Exactly.
And then he asked Mom to bring him home some sample packs of the A&D ointment from the nursing home. So that way
on a budget.
He didn't have to buy
still on
no
budget.
More A&D.
Still
and
on
he just
budget.
Borrowed from the baby. I mean, hey, it worked out.
Your mother saved our marriage.
We were lathering up assholes everywhere.
If she didn't come in here, and complain about that toilet paper, I would have left you.
But all I had to say to her was, "Ma, I got the stash in my closet. Just, you know."
Who's that? Let's get to the meat of the show, because now I'm getting mad.
The meat of the show.
This is what
moving
happens.
Moving in people's isms.
Yo.
All right, y'all? Dealing with people's isms. What are the signs that you're ready to move in or not?
Well, the first sign that you are ready to move in is good communication. Right? We talk about communication all the time on this show, but I'm explaining to you why communication is important when you move in, right? When you're dating someone and y'all have a spat, right? Or y'all have an issue, people tend to say, "You know what? I'm going home.
I don't have to take
yes.
This. I'm going home."
So
what show is that from?
You can do it. Come on, man. It's my boy Urkel.
Okay,
family
good,
matters.
Good.
It's a rare condition this day and age to read any good news on a newspaper page. That's what the toilet paper felt like. Newspaper. It felt like newspaper.
Was it at least the sports section? No. My bad.
I'm still pissed. But
yeah.
Anyway, when you are in a relationship with someone and your only refuge is leaving them. Right. When we have an argument, when you move in, there's no leaving. Right? So now I got a problem with you. You got a problem with me, and I got to stare at you in the face. Mm-hmm. Or we got to sleep in the same room. Mm-hmm. That it kind of prepares you to learn how to communicate even before you get married. Mm-hmm. And here's the truth. Kadeen says she was all for shacking up. She wasn't all for shacking up. 2007, no? When I was living. Now she's going to say no.
In what moment?
Let's go back to.
I'm talking about shacking up for the purposes of knowing what it's like to live with somebody.
Let's go back to the pressure. Remember the pressure?
But that's remember not the even conversation? The topic of the
no,
conversation
but remember
today.
The conversation that we had? You was just like, I don't want to be shacking up and be nobody's living girlfriend. That's a genuine issue for people.
Oh, well, yeah, absolutely. And that's what I'm saying. If they're talking about just shacking up in general, you mean. Okay, gotcha.
Right, so you weren't all for just shacking up. Like, mm-hmm. We were trying to be purposeful
right.
about learning how to live with each other.
Well, also, too, I think shacking up made sense for us, too, because we felt like, okay, here we are, a couple in our young 20s, right? We are trying to decide what it's going to look like for us to exist mm-hmm. together, what our future is going to look like, because like we've said on previous shows, we've always talked very openly about our goals, our dreams, mm-hmm. our hopes, things that we wanted to accomplish. So in my mind, I'm like, okay, what sense does it make that I graduate from college? Well, now grad school, right? Because mm-hmm. I didn't have to pay for housing in grad school. I'm now 23 graduating from grad school. You are now, you know, working in the NFL mm-hmm. or doing what you're doing. Does it really make sense just for the sake of saying it or just so our parents could feel better and our grandparents and all of our ancestors? They're going to feel better because, okay, Kadeen is paying rent over here to homeboy that we don't even know. Deval is paying rent to another homeboy over here that we don't even know. There's two different rents that are going out mm-hmm. of two people's accounts where they can just collectively work together.
Absolutely.
If they're living together to pay one rent mm-hmm. to then have the plan to save that other money to eventually purchase a home. To me, that just made sense in that moment, right? It wasn't necessarily a matter
until
of
I
just...
Until I didn't propose on time.
Well, yeah. Well, that spiraled into another thing because I'm just like, okay, where's the next level of our relationship going?
And that's the reason why I said the whole thing about the pressure is that's mm-hmm. the argument for some people.
Yeah.
Some people, especially women, are just like, I'm not moving in because right. if I move in and then I'm playing wife
right.
and I don't have a ring.
And then things are getting comfortable and right. he's getting comfortable. And
but you just explained all the reasons why I felt like it made sense for us to move in together.
Absolutely.
Financially, it made sense. Mm-hmm. Plus, it made sense for us to learn how to communicate together. Yeah. When it, like here, signs you're ready to move in.
Mm-hmm.
You have good communication. You talk about finances regularly,
okay.
which we do.
Mm-hmm.
You survived a big argument, which mm-hmm. we did. You talk through your relationship problems, which we did.
Yep.
You talk and agree about goals and expectations in your relationship, which we did.
Mm-hmm.
You can talk honestly about moving in together, which
yes.
we did. And you can talk about your deepest fears from moving in together.
Mm-hmm.
The reason why those last three are very important is because those aren't talking about the rainbows and sunshine of moving in together.
That's
right?
A fact.
Because there's more rainy days when you mm-hmm. live together than there is rainbows and
right.
sunshine when you're learning.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to preface that by saying there are more rainy days than rainbows and sunshine
when
you're
learning. Living together.
Once you've learned and you understand each other, the rainbow and sunshine days far outnumber the rainy days.
You want to know something that's rainy often? In the house now that we live together even 20 years later.
Oh, gosh. What's raining?
Learning people's isms and learning people's things and like their little ways. You know what I'm saying? And I'm saying this at risk of sounding crazy because I know I have my ways. Okay. I just want to put one of DeVal's ways
here
out there,
go.
Right?
Here we
okay.
go. Here we go.
So my husband, love him to death, you know, has this go. Thing where.
Here we go.
He likes to just like step out of his clothes and just leave it. At like the edge of the bed.
I have a system.
He just leaves it at the edge of the bed. And I'm like, bro, I'll clean up everything in the room around, make the bed, this, that, and third. But then there's just like this pile of clothes there. So if you're a person that just like gets irked by people's isms or little things and you have pet peeves, those are things that you want to realize early on that you're going to decide, okay, I am just going to deal with this because that's just what he does. And he's just cute when he leaves his shit at the side of the bed on the floor in
the
pile.
Don't try to put sugar on it now. Don't try to be my friend now. Don't try to be my friend now because you put my business out in the street. Now you trying to be my friend talking about it.
It's all right because I got equal business, I'm sure. And yeah, I've said that. I know.
Yeah, you do.
But it's just one of those things. People are going to have things that are going to irk your nerves. And you cannot walk away from that when you are living together with somebody. So think about that before moving in. What is your tolerance for pet peeves and isms? Because if your threshold is not high for it, you might just be in a conundrum.
That is very good because the next one on the list was said, it said, you accept the other person. You accept their mess.
You make
literally and figuratively.
The decision. You make the decision.
It says you can't go in believing you'll change your partner to think and live as you do.
Right. Because you naturally want the person to be comfortable in their space. So you don't want to come into a situation where you're moving in and now you're micromanaging how that person should be living. For all that, stay your ass over in your own place. Right? Oh, you didn't tell us your system. What's your system?
Oh, my system of stepping out of my clothes?
Yes.
So when I step out of my clothes right there in the bed, right? Right there in my little shorts area. Mm-hmm. That's because Mimi often comes into the room to get the baby, right? Mm-hmm. What if I'm naked and I got to grab some shorts? Mm-hmm. I can step right into my shorts, bow, the shorts be on. As opposed to walking all the way to the closet past Mimi with my dang-a-lang out. I'm trying to be respectful, so I keep the shorts right there by the bed. I feel like that's a good, pretty good system.
Yeah. Especially, I mean, you were doing it before Mimi, though. You've been doing it since, like, college.
Because in college, I had to jump in my shorts to be a 5:30 a.m. workout. So I used to have my girdle and my shorts right there by the bed. As soon as that alarm rang, I didn't want to waste no time. I used to step right into them joints, pull them joints up, brush my teeth, go to workouts. I have a system. Okay.
All right. I guess this
don't
never
judge
failed you yet.
My system.
It has not.
I don't judge
you
for sweeping dirt into the corner of the room and collecting it there for weeks at a time. I don't judge you for that. I don't judge you for keeping the messiest bathroom in the history of bathrooms.
My bathroom is not messy. My side is not messy. It just has a lot of things. I use a lot of products. Okay. So there's not mess. There's just products. Okay.
Hey, fine. So, hey,
and that dirt, whatever. Sweeping that dirt thing is like, it's old news. I don't do that anymore. I used to, though. I was a chronic sweep everything through a corner because I couldn't find the dustpan in the moment. So I was like, whatever. You did me.
Those
you
are
know.
Just two. I got a whole bunch of other.
All right, we ain't asked for all that. I gave you one.
Around,
I gave you
seeing
one.
Seeing wigs randomly places, looking like whole heads, scaring the shit out of me. It'd be dark in this house. I'm already scared because this house is big. It's dark. I'm walking by someone. I'm thinking it's an intruder. No, Kay got a wig on the back of the coffee table. It's just a wig just standing there.
How about Mimi drying her wig on the wine rack the other day?
You see what I'm saying?
I was like, why is my mother's wig hanging off of this bottle of wine?
Scared the piss out of me. I turned the corner to go to the pantry because, number one, I was high. You know when you high, you be hungry and paranoid. So now I'm hungry and paranoid. I go to the pantry to go get me something to eat.
Oh.
And there's a curly wig just sitting there on the wine rack. Almost shit on myself. Good thing we got 2-ply toilet paper now, because that shit I took that day
and
was
an
crazy.
Abundance of A&T ointment.
Yes.
Compliments of Dakota.
But that's also when you learn to live with people, you understand what their isms are. So when you see a random wig or a dirty bathroom, you don't get all excited and get
pissed
about
it. Oh, you don't.
No,
absolutely
more.
Not. Even the kids know. Kaz is like, there goes Mimi's hair.
<It's> just,
no, that's
it
Mimi's
is what
hair.
It is.
It is what it is. All right. And another sign, or more signs rather. You live rich and independent lives.
That's
cute.
That's a big one right there.
Rich and independent lives. So once you move in, you'll spend more time with your partner. Resentment can grow if you don't have your own life outside of your relationship.
Can you read that one more time, man?
Resentment can grow if you don't have your own life outside of your relationship. Creating routines together that will help you build a home and a bond, but keeping your independence will help you rather in the long run. And taking alone time when you need it.
One of the biggest complaints I get from people when they move in with their partner, significant other, wife, husband, whatever, is that one person is always a little bit more clingy than the other.
Mm-hmm.
And once they first move in, it's now I'm going to spend all my time with you,
mm-hmm.
because we're living together. But then that person becomes your entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
So when that person doesn't make you feel good, or that person doesn't make you feel comfortable in this space, you tend to blame that person for why you're feeling down, because you don't have your own independent lifestyle.
Right. And then it's like no one else in your face. Because mm-hmm. a lot of times, sometimes I may just be, you know, I might have woke up on the wrong side of the bed, or just been, you know, kind of having a lot on my mind, and I kind of just want to be alone, or,
mm-hmm.
you know, and Deval be like, why are you sitting in this room by yourself? Or, you know, why are you this? Or he may feel like I'm taking something out on him. And I'm like, bro, I'm not trying to take it out on you. You just happen to be the other person that's in this space with me right now. I can't go anywhere to be alone in this moment. I can't be alone in a funk somewhere. And it's not necessarily a responsibility to bring me out of the funk, because I felt like sometimes that's what you felt. You felt like, okay, if she's not in a good mood and she's in the house with me, then I have to find a way to get her out of it. Sometimes you just want to be alone. And that becomes difficult when you have nowhere to go because you live together.
And I'll be honest with you, that's one of the biggest things to learn, is that the person you live with may not always want to be around you. That hurts. You know what I'm saying? If you're a social person and you're used to being around people, and this is the person you madly in love with, you feel like when y'all move in together, we're going to watch movies together, we're going to make out all the time, we're going to be on each other. Then you go in there one day and that person look at you like, ugh. Then it's like, what did I do?
Right.
But it's really nothing that you did. This person nothing just to you, wants their space.
In that moment.
And a lot of times, you don't realize that you may do that to the other person. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Because I used to say to you all the time, like, you know, like I'm always running after you, always trying to find you. But then I don't realize when I go down in a man cave to be by myself, it's literally the same thing.
The same exact thing. Now I have to go find your ass.
Right.
And I'm like, well, why'd you leave me in the room and go on to, you do that a lot.
I do that bro. A lot. But that's also something I had to realize, right? I was telling you to not do things that hurt my feelings while realizing I was doing those things. Mm-hmm. That's accountability, mm-hmm. right? You would go in the room to get your own space. And I'm like, man, why are you always leaving me? But then I didn't realize that I used to leave and go in the man cave in the theater by myself to have my own time. Mm-hmm. Because when you're focusing on your own time, you're so focused on your own time, you don't realize how you doing that is affecting other people.
Absolutely.
And it only matters to you when they do it, it affects you.
Yeah. And we just have our favorite parts of the house. Like, yeah. I just enjoy our bedroom. He enjoys the theater. So it's like, I want to invite you to my favorite place. So how about you just come in here and I was like, I don't want to lay in a bed and sit in the bed all day. And I'm just like, no, we should just be able to spend time in our room together, because that's just my favorite place.
Which
and
is
vice
cool.
versa.
I think that having an independent lifestyle is very important for mental health.
Right.
Because your sanity, your happiness cannot be predicated on someone else's existence.
Right.
Because then they're always going to fall short. They're always going to feel inadequate. And you're always going to feel like you're pulling teeth or reaching for something that's not there.
Absolutely. So this one, I don't know, because this is one of the reasons why we did this. It says you're not doing it for convenience. So don't move in with a spouse to save money. Mm-hmm. Convenience may make other parts of your life better, but it won't improve your relationship.
1,000%. If your only reason to move in with each other is to save money, then that's a horrible reason to move in together.
Well, yeah, and then that you're looking for a roommate.
Right.
Like, you're not really looking for a spouse or a relationship situation. Mm-hmm. You're just looking to save money. So if two people are, you know, can amicably live together and say, all right, well, I just need to save money, you need to save money, and then we can just come and go and do our own thing, then fine. But it not being the sole purpose.
It can't be the sole person.
The sole
cannot
purpose.
Be
that makes sense.
The sole purpose has to be, because I love serving this person so much that I would want to be around them more often. That has to be the sole purpose.
Yeah.
Everything else is a byproduct. Of course, you save money and it's more convenient when you live together, but it has to be something you want to do, not feeling like, oh, it's something I have to do now because this will help me in a different aspect of my life.
Right, because the focus will just be saving money, and then what else, you know? You're on the same page about your relationship. So that spirals into that. Don't ignore your relationship problems. Issues will grow once you move in together if they have not been addressed.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
That don't even need no explanation. That's just what it is.
But Kadeen and I went through this. There was a point where we were talking about getting separated and talking about possibly getting a divorce. And then we were thinking about how inconvenient it would be for us to not be living under the same roof. And then we started thinking about how much we would hate not being around each other. Because here's the truth. As mad as I am at Kadeen at times, I feel exponentially better when I know she's safe in the house. With me. Yes, with me.
Same.
So for me, it's like I can be mad. I'm fine, I'm mad. And this is before we even had the big house, when we lived in the apartment. Even if I'm mad and she's in the kitchen and I'm in the living room, or she's in the living room and I'm in the dining room, I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
As long as I can see her and I know she's okay. Because the things that used to hurt me was when she used to get mad and she'd be out somewhere or driving. My biggest fear is that something happens to her while she's in a rage or she's upset. So for me, just living together just was, it was always important for me to know that you were always safe.
Right. You know? We were definitely on the same page with that. Because my soul would not rest unless I knew. Like a couple times, you know, back in the day, the Val would get mad and he's like, oh, I'm going to my brother's house or going to my father's house. And I would think the same thing too. Like, God forbid something happens on the way, you just left me in this rage.
Yeah.
And then, God forbid, something happens, then what? And even though we'd be pissed at each other and you may have to be in the living room or I'll be in the living room in another room, just the fact that we knew it, okay, at least he's breathing around the corner.
Right, right,
even though I hate that motherfucking breath right now. I hate that breath, but at least he's breathing in my vicinity, so we good.
ain't nothing better when your partner is trying to apologize or break the ice. So y'all haven't talked for a couple hours and everything is like super thick in the apartment. Y'all ain't saying nothing. And then she walks in with your favorite red shorts on and her crop top shirt on with no bra. And she rolls her eyes. She goes, "Are you hungry?" And it's like, "Oh, that's your apology?" And she's like, "I'm not apologizing. I just want to know if you're hungry because I'm about to eat and I don't want to hear nothing." Then she turn around real slow and stare back at you and just be like, "I'm going to make your favorite sandwich." Then you like, "Oh, I know she ready for this to be over." Like, those be the best parts
about
living.
We just be tired of it, yes.
At that part, it's like, all right, I get it. When I see the red co-ed shorts, and I know y'all probably have seen them on Instagram or YouTube because Kay knows that those are my favorite shorts, and she knows.
I've had those shorts since I was, oh my God, 15, 16.
When I first met you.
The fact that they can still fit me.
They do not fit you the same way. They do not fit you the same way.
But they fit, though.
They do fit.
Yes, and it's that back in the day fabric that you could wash for years and years and years, and the shit still be intact. No holes, no fraying.
That's true, though.
The elasticity in the waist.
Those shorts are over 20 years old.
Yeah.
And it's the co-ed still on them in the back.
Right? It didn't get washed out yet.
It didn't get washed out. Well, when I first met you, those shorts were appropriate for you to wear because you used to wear them on campus.
Oh, yeah, I used to
like,
wear them out.
And they would come down to at least your mid-thigh. Now, them things almost like
a
thong.
Y'all body rider murder. That's what it is. Yep.
Yes.
Yep.
Yes.
A whole ass body rider.
That's one of some of the favorite things about, you know, living with somebody.
Yeah.
You get to see them in all of their glory.
That part.
All the time. But let's get back to some of the real things.
You stayed together before. So taking a trip or extended stay together, right, for periods of time will help you to see these hidden facts about how your spouse lives.
Yeah, because there's nothing like meeting this beautiful pageant girl. And you're just so enamored by how long her hair is and how pretty she is and how perfect her smile is and her body's amazing. And then y'all staying together for the first time and then she rolls over and you find out that she wears a retainer. So you reach over to give her a kiss and you're like, "Hey, baby." And she's just like, "Hmm?" And you like, "Why are you talking like that?" And she's like, "No, that's my retainer." And now she drooling in her sleep and she snores because of her retainer. And you're all enamored by this woman just to find out.
That was as real as it got, y'all. That was as real as it got. All right,
yo,
yes.
When I tell you, I ain't never forget the time you had on, this is the first night you stayed with me. You had on that lavender boy short bra combination. I was all hype, like, yeah, that's my baby right there. And then you was laying in the bed, turned over, and I had my arm around you. I threw my leg on you, you was spooning, and I was like, "You all right, baby?" And you were like, "Yes." And I was like, "That's a pretty on spot on like Daffy Duck impersonation that you're doing." And she was like, "What do you mean, Daffy Duck?"
Shut
and
up.
I was like, "Why do you sound like that right now?" And you literally said, "Suffering succotash for my retainer." And I was like, "Wow. Wow." I was trying to ask you for some head, but I don't want it no more.
You capping.
I'm not capping. I didn't want to get no head at that point. I couldn't even know if you was breathing because you was breathing. Like, everything was off. From like your ENT, you should have went to the ENT doctor because your ear, nose, and throat was all clogged. The retainer just had it all sorts of fucked up. But I still loved you.
It's the price I had to pay for straight teeth, and I will not apologize.
Don't apologize.
For my retainer, and you would have seen me pre braces, then you'd have been making fun of me for a whole nother thing.
No, I seen you.
You'd be calling me Bugs Bunny.
Yeah, okay? You went from Bugs to Daffy.
Okay.
Yes, you went from Bugs to Daffy, and I appreciate it. Daffy is way better. Way better. Okay.
Is it time for a break yet? Because you're aggy as fuck right now.
Yes. We can take a break and get back to some listener letters.
We'll be back, y'all.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV True Crime Podcast, To Live and Die in LA. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent
telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how, I don't know where, I don't know what. God, if you show me, God, if you tell me, God, if no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Truck stop brothels run by a web of ex-cons. A Commonwealth attorney wasted on whiskey and power. Protection exchanged for cash and flesh. This is Hooker Game, Criminals and Libertines in the South. And I am your host, Dr. Lindsay Byron. 3 years ago, I came across a goldmine of news clippings detailing a scandal that rocked my small southern hometown. As I flipped through each page, this forgotten story came back to life.
I was told that it was just supposed to be a massage parlor.
The big shot in Davo was Barker.
He beats me continuously.
If you print anything that you hear in the grand jury, you will be put in jail.
I never gave any massages.
Listen to Hooker Gay, Criminals and Libertines in the South on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we're back.
Listen at a time. We've told y'all way too much about DeVal's ass, you know.
Dead ass. My retainer. With Daffy and DeVal. Dead ass. Fade.
Y'all have learned all the things, I'm sure more things than not, that you care to learn about today. So let's learn about y'all, okay? How about we get into these listener letters?
Sorry, bro, my ass has never been the same since that putty battle. Like this shit, yo, like, I was so pissed.
Come
yo.
On. That's a very forgiving area. It should have healed by now.
It definitely healed, all right? Okay. Definitely healed, but it's not the same. It's not the same. I feel like it just gets irritated way too quickly. I was
well, I started getting the flushable wipes now, right? Because you can't use regular wipes. The flushable.
That's what
joints.
I'm saying. Now I gotta use flushable wipes. I can't even. I use
think
Charmin
that just comes
anymore.
With age, though.
Can't even use Charmin
Does that come
anymore.
With age?
No, it comes with your wife setting you up for disaster.
Think about in your lifespan how much ass wiping you have to do. Like in your entire lifespan, that's a lot of
but
trauma
if,
to that area.
But
in
if
general.
You use Charmin, you don't have a problem. When you use sandpaper and sticks and rocks. Because your wife's trying to prove a point. That's what happens.
And ever since you put out my hair product, my hair ain't never been the same. I'm over here having to Beijing my shit.
All right, so we both even.
All right, right.
Both even. Right?
Anywho, let's get into y'all listening letters because we can go on for days about yeah. this.
You want to go first?
No, you go first for a change. How about that?
Perfect.
I'll read the second one.
Hey, my name is Mohammed Zidane. I've been with my girlfriend for 15 months, and lately we've been doing terrible. She told me I hurt her, and she doesn't want to be with me anymore because I don't communicate or update her, and she didn't feel loved anymore. I'm in school to be a registered nurse, and I work with my dad at a convenience store, so I have no time to take her out. Take her out at all, and I've been really focused on my dad's business and school because I know once I become a nurse, life will be better for us, and I will be more free to take her out and treat her good. Bro, you should have put it.
You need a couple periods. I'm looking at this thing.
That's all one sentence. That's a whole paragraph.
Mohammed, I love you, and I'm so thankful for you writing in, but bruh, yes. That was a paragraph with no period in there.
Yo, whole paragraph, no period. That was amazing.
That was all a full thought.
But in the process, I forgot that I needed a period. No, I forgot that I needed to communicate and keep her happy right now so we both could get to the future she wants. Nothing to do with me, but I'm in love with her and I don't want to lose her. But she heard this so many times. She doesn't believe I really changed and wants to do better. She always sends me videos of both of y'all Instagram because we really look up to y'all. So can you help me out, please? And tell me if there is a if this is regular for couples to go through. And tell me if y'all been through something like this before and how y'all dealt with it. Please, it would mean the world to me. So.
Aw, Mohammed. You're in love with the homegirl.
You're in
love. That's cute. I love that. And he's working to be a registered nurse. That's dope. We need more male nurses out there.
So, Mohammed, from 2010 to 2014, Kadeena and I had just got married. And this was 4 years. I had made a decision that I was going to focus solely on getting into TV, film, and building my business. With that being said, I had to make sacrifices. Kadeena didn't get no designer bags. We didn't go on any fancy dates. We didn't go on any vacations. Mm-mm. The two of us committed to sacrificing that moment for the rest of our lives.
Mm-hmm.
So we did what we had to do in those moments to live the way we wanted to live for the rest of our lives.
Yep.
As long as you communicate with your spouse or your significant other what your plan is, they'll feel comfortable in that moment with you because you're doing it together. If you neglected to tell her that you didn't forget about her, but you're working towards something in the future, she's going to believe that you just forgot about her.
Yes. You said I don't communicate or update her. You need to do that.
Absolutely. There was not a day that went by, especially for me coming from the NFL and constantly spoiling Kadeen, where I didn't feel horrible about not being able to do the same things for her at that point in our marriage, especially because we had just got married. But you'll be shocked at how resilient the ones that love you are when it comes to the things they need and want, if it's going to be for the betterment of you two collectively.
Yes.
Because Kadeen definitely didn't, and Kadeen loves bags, she loves shoes, she loves to travel, she loves to be spoiled. But for those 4 years, I never got a complaint. This is the facts. Kadeen never said to me, "Val, you don't ever take me nowhere." And when I tell you we didn't go nowhere. Like,
nope. Date nights, we got creative. We were in the house, yes, you know, popping popcorn,
there were
pop
no
secret.
Ruth, there was no Ruth Chris. There was no Del Frisco's. There was no... We didn't
no fancy
go out to
shit.
Eat. There
we
was
didn't
no
do
fancy
anything.
Shit.
We were
yeah.
home.
We were
making,
home.
Making the best of...
And
well,
building.
Back in the day, it was Blockbuster. Remember college days? Blockbuster.
It was Blockbuster.
Shout
we were
Blockbuster.
Just building.
Yeah.
And there's nothing wrong with going through that part of your relationship together if you both speak on it.
Yeah, I think on the flip side, Mohammed, coming from maybe her perspective, just not feeling necessarily included in the plan or feeling like she's a part of the plan can also, too, be a little bit of a deterrent because you're just kind of unsure about what's happening here. What's the purpose, right?
Mm-hmm.
What are we working towards? And if she's really invested and if she's really in love with you and really loves you and can see a future with you, then she really honestly should have no problem being able to say, you know what, babe, this is going to be a sacrificial point for both of us.
Mm-hmm.
Because we know if we just like put our heads down and we just work and we work and we work right now, we can definitely see the benefits of it later. Now, I don't know much about her, but if she's a homegirl that's looking to just, you know, say, hey, I'm looking for all the things now, because let's be for real, that's what social media has people feeling like, you know, being in these relationships, that all this fancy shit is happening now, especially younger. Like, I'm looking at even people in their 20s, you know, mid-20s that are just out there doing lavish things, you know, with whatever opportunities they have. If she's looking for that and she's not willing to stick around for that long haul with you, then that also might be worth a conversation as well. So I think it all goes back to you just being really transparent with her about your intentions and maybe a timeline. You know, Devon and I used to talk about things in terms of years, like, okay, what's our goal for this year?
Right.
You know, where do we see ourselves in the next 2 years? Where do we see ourselves in the next 5 years? You know, that also too can kind of give at least something that feels a little bit more tangible than it's just empty promises, what it may seem like.
But we also can't let him off the hook, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you have to describe wealth in one word,
mm-hmm.
that word is time.
Mm.
People find time for the things that are important to them.
Mm-hmm.
If she's important to you,
mm-hmm.
you got to find time for her, bro.
Mm-hmm.
And time costs you nothing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, mm-hmm. take her to a park.
Mm-hmm.
You know, make us find out what her favorite movie is. Make her do a movie night.
Hell, your father own a convenience store. Get her.
Facts.
Get some sandwiches. Get some snacks. Put that shit in a basket. Get you a blanket or a sheet out your mama's closet or yours. Spread that shit out and it's a whole picnic. Bow.
The funniest part about
Dollar Tree, you get some candles, make it cute. Get you some little candles or whatever. Make it cute. Some little rose petals or whatever. Make use of the convenience store. Tell Dad, yo, make the time.
Make the time, bro. More than anything else,
yeah.
Make the time.
There we go. Time to spend and time to communicate. All right. Second question. Hey, Deval and Kadeen. First, I'd like to say that I absolutely love y'all. I've been following your family since Deval was trying to get the boys dressed and out of the house when Cairo was just a baby.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all are a dope ass family. Thank you so much. It's been a minute. Cairo is a whole ass grown man now.
I know.
All right. I'm a 33-year-old woman who has been with my husband for 8 years, married for almost 5. We're married for 2 years before we had our first child. When our daughter was just 4 months old, I found out I was pregnant again with our son. We had babies back to back, so they're just 11 and a half months apart. My daughter is 2 and my son is 16 months. Before the babies, our marriage was amazing. Sex was off the charts, date nights were often, and we were literally didn't have much to argue about. We spent time together and put one another first. We're truly best friends. After having 2 not so good pregnancies, hubby didn't adjust well to the pregnancy hormones 2 times. Our marriage started to decline. I feel like I'm a married single mom. I work full-time as an elementary school teacher, maintaining our home, sole chef, and do 95% of everything to take care of our very active toddlers. He feels like I put the kids first and I've forgotten how to be a wife. I literally have no energy for my husband after working, cooking, and being a mom. I've expressed that if he would help more, then I would have more energy for him. I've started to build resentment towards my husband because I feel like he does the bare minimum to help with our kids, and I want him to help more and be a true partner. I've communicated this to my husband, but there has been no consistent change. I want my marriage and desire to keep my family together. How can I get my husband to be the partner I need and bring the spark back into our marriage?
There's 2 things. We don't know which came first.
Familiar story.
The chicken or the egg.
In what sense?
In this sense, right? He says she forgot how to be a wife.
Mm-hmm.
She says he's not really good at being a father and a productive partner.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know which came first, right?
Mm-hmm.
Of course, she had 2 tough pregnancies,
mm-hmm.
right? We don't know if because of the hormones, her attitude pushed him away,
mm-hmm.
or we don't know if his neglect during the pregnancy pushed her away.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? It would be nice to hear both of their perspectives so we can kind of put a timeline together of which came first.
Mm-hmm.
Because once you know which came first, then you can attack the root problem.
Mm-hmm.
All the other problems become byproducts of the root problem,
mm-hmm.
right? For example, a lot of times, and you and I have talked about this, during pregnancy, then after pregnancy, when you are a mom, some women lose sight of the fact that you still have to be a wife and be of service to your husband the same way your husband has to continuously be of service to you,
mm-hmm.
even when you have kids,
mm-hmm.
right? As a partner, as a spouse, you don't get the chance, you don't get an opportunity to say, well, I'm no longer serving you because we have kids. That's both sides.
Mm-hmm.
Husband is not allowed to say that, and a wife's not allowed to say that. So we have to be cognizant as partners and spouses that we have a responsibility to continuously take care of each other while having kids. Mm-hmm. You don't get to put that aside. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Well, you had gotten a little backlash once when you had said that you put me before the kids.
Yes.
And we were just kind of like, but why would we not?
Well, this is why you get backlash, because people tend to be idiots, right? When they'll say stuff like, which comes first, the kids or your spouse? Mm-hmm. They want to equate that to there's one piece of chicken left in the house. Who are you giving a piece of chicken to, your kids mm-hmm. or your spouse? And then you have to make a decision. And based on the decision you make, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. decides whether or not you're a good person or not. That's not how fucking life works. All right. There's not
what
one
if all
piece
the kids are
left.
Full and there's one piece of chicken left, so my wife is going to get it because she's
right.
hungry.
Right.
Like, context.
Like people need to understand there's context with these stupid ass questions they ask mm-hmm. to kind of put people in a box, right? Mm-hmm. I will always put my wife first, mm-hmm. mainly because my wife and I are the ones who created this life together. Mm-hmm. My wife is a better mom when I put her first. Mm-hmm. So she'll be better for the kids if I make sure that she is good in all aspects of life.
Right. That's one thing I can appreciate
and
about
that's,
he
that's
always
my mentality.
Sure. Right. That's why we said, you know, in a previous podcast, why we have Mimi and Papa here.
Right.
Because you felt like if I can help to take some of the stress,
yes.
some of the you know, the demands off of you on a day to day basis, then that will free up time for you to be more of a wife and a spouse to me.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And people need to understand that when they have kids. A lot of people, when they get kids, and this is not me talking because I've done it perfectly, I've done the same thing. Mm-hmm. There's been times where I've been so invested in our children that I forgot to be a husband.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
And that happens if you're not constantly doing evaluations of yourself and saying, wait a minute. When's the last time I've done this for my wife?
This just happened, what, 2 nights ago? I thought I was doing a fairly good job of bouncing back after Dakota and just trying to get back to my routine of things and trying to make sure that you're taken care of and we're spending time together. And then Dakota gets sick and then I'm literally instantly in mom mode. I'm just like, baby. And DeVal's just like, damn, I feel like I lost my girlfriend again. Like, where'd she go? Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, bro, I'm in mom mode right now because I need to be because our baby is sick. Are you really going to be upset? Because like right now I can't have all the attention on you. But it's also just like a give and take. Like, you have to know when things... Who needs what more in that one moment? You know what I'm saying? And making sure that it's balanced. Because then we have the nights where we have date nights where I'm like, all right, these 2 nights of the week, you know, I want to try to make sure that Mimi keeps the baby downstairs so I can focus on hubby time, you know?
I understand that. But what happens is sometimes you tend to think that you're doing everything in your power, but you're not utilizing the assets that I've helped provide you so that you can be a girlfriend.
Right.
For
because
example,
I'm still mom, right?
Right. So for example, if the baby is sick and not feeling well, your mom is not only a dope grandmother and mother of three kids, she's also a registered nurse. Mm-hmm. So if anybody can take care of the baby, it's her. Mm-hmm. And if the baby's not in a dire need for their parent, let the help help. That's why mom lives here. Mom lives here for those purposes. You take away mom's power away when you don't allow her to help when she really wants to help.
Right.
And then say to me, well, DeVal, you know, I got to do this. Actually, you don't have to do it. Because there's a lot of times I have to delegate responsibilities to your mom or your dad when I have to make sure I'm doing things to make sure you're okay.
Right.
And I think that we as spouses have to learn that it is okay to say, you know what, my child does need me, but I've created a great space here where my child is going to be taken care of. Mm-hmm. Let me make sure my spouse is okay. It's not okay to always put your spouse on the back burner.
No.
Like, it's not always okay that your spouse always get what's left over. Mm-hmm. Nobody always wants to be, I'll deal with you after. Mm-hmm. Because like she said, I do this, I do that, I help with the kids, I help with this. But at the end of the day, so then now you're trying to get back to your husband at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. And she's not the only person that does that. I've done that plenty of times. When I got so into Jackson's basketball, and then still I have to train, and then I have to meet with my castmates for readings, and then Kyra wants to work out, and I'm realizing a couple days have gone by, and I'm like, oh shoot, I haven't even hugged on or kissed on my wife, I haven't checked on my wife, so it's not a thing that just moms do it,
right?
Dads do it too. I got so engrossed in what Jackson and Kyra needed and what I needed for my career, I forgot to be a husband, and it's okay. When you realize that you forgot, But now you got to fix it
and
make
it,
sure that that doesn't become a pattern.
Right.
Like the pattern.
It's the pattern that becomes the problem. Because if it's just a couple times that happens here and there, we get it. Shit gets busy. Stuff fall through the cracks. We're adults. We can understand that, you know. But yeah, it's when things become a pattern. And I think what happened in her circumstance, too, she said that he's not agreeing to help more with the children. So it's like she all she has left at the end of the day is no energy because she's been doing everything all day. So I'm curious to know why he is not as involved with the children to kind of help meet her, you know, if it means like, okay, she cooks dinner and he does bath time, or like, how do they distribute the help in the house
so
to make sure that they can both have time for each other?
This is where I read between the lines. She said he had a tough time dealing with the hormones.
Mm-hmm.
Typically, that means I'm not responsible for the things I did and I said because it was the hormones and my husband was not used to dealing with it. Doesn't that typically what it sounds like? The hormones time too.
Well, she
when they says the hormones... That's not an excuse for you behaving poorly.
Prenatal and postpartum at the same time.
Which we've been there before,
with Chiron Kaz. Yeah.
So I understand that. Mm-hmm. But that makes you wonder, like, okay, if your hormones are that bad, were you even receptive to him helping? Because here's the thing I've noticed even with moms. Don't worry, I got it. Don't worry, I got it. Do it this way. Let me do it. Do it this way. Fine. You do it your way. Now I'm letting you do it your way. You don't even want to help. Come on, bro. Didn't we have this conversation?
Yeah, actually, you have a couple of dads, friends recently, yeah.
Yes, you have to let dads be, and this is not me taking a side.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm pointing out are things that happen in relationships that people don't realize happen.
Mm-hmm.
For example, a dude may be dealing with the fact that their wife is going through hormonal changes. So he steps back, which is something you shouldn't do. Or she may not want him to help the way he wants to help because his version of help doesn't look like hers, which you shouldn't do. So he steps back. You see what I'm saying?
No, we have to
dissect where the problem came from before we can even help these people.
Right.
Because I kind of want to know, like, well, what happened first?
Right, right. We'll definitely get his perspective.
Because they said they were best friends. Mm-hmm. Best friends don't just quit on each other.
No.
Something had to happen.
And it's a rough patch, man. Like, once you introduce, they were married for 8 years, almost five, and they were married for two before they had their daughter. So they had a nice little stint where it was just the two of them.
Mm-hmm.
And kids can totally just come in there and chop and screw shit up.
And here's the truth, guys. Don't feel guilty or be upset when you don't. I saw a meme there. I think it was Kier. Kier was talking about how he just don't like being a parent all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes he has to go in the room and just scream or talk to himself because he's like, I don't like these little people having so much control over my life.
Yeah.
But then people will feel guilty about that. Like, this is such a blessing. I'm supposed to like it.
Mm-hmm.
It's a change.
Right.
And it's okay for you to not be comfortable in that change, but find ways to cope.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And it's the same thing when you have your kids and your wife. There are times where I look at my wife and she's all running around my kids and everything is the kids, all day. And then at nighttime when I want to watch a movie or something and she's passed out, I'm like, damn, I just wanted my girlfriend. Like, I wanted to watch a movie. I wanted to cuddle. I wanted to make out. I wanted to play pool and flirt and have those moments.
Mm-hmm.
But I couldn't. And the human in me gets jealous of the fact that you chose to use your energy towards the kids. That's fine. How you respond to that feeling is going to be indicative of the type of man you are.
Yeah.
And I think that's what a lot more men need to realize. It's okay if you have those feelings. The same way it's okay if moms, you feel guilty when your husband is so focused on the kids and he's not paying attention to you. Y'all haven't done date night. He hasn't bought you flowers because y'all may have a daughter and all his attention is on his little girl, or y'all may have a son and he's at football practice for hours and he hasn't taken you anywhere or done anything. It's okay to feel upset about that.
Yeah.
But how you respond to those times and how you communicate those times is what's going to be indicative of how your relationship makes it or not makes it.
Facts on facts on facts. Mm-hmm. Write into us if you want to be featured as the listener letter. Best place to do it is emailing us. All right. DMs get flooded, all that. I told y'all before, please don't give me the dissertations in the DMs because you probably won't see them and I won't see them. So deadassadvice@gmail.com.
That's deadassadvice@gmail.com.
You did it again. vic@gmail.com.
I said C.
You didn't. But it's okay. People can
deadassadvice@gmail.com.
Fabulous. Okay, now. You're not gonna keep you. If you want to talk to Muhammad about his punctuation, I gotta make sure you spelling shit right. All right, that's just what it is.
Say anywho, punctuation with your retainer in 10 times fast.
I can't even find my retainer. Shut up.
Punctuation. Punctuation.
Bye, DeVal. Give these people their moment, your moment of truth, so we can send them on their merry way.
This is my moment of truth. It's very simple, right? It's the same thing that we've been preaching for years. Communication is extremely important. Moving in together will truly determine whether or not you guys can live in harmony for the rest of your lives if you want to get married. I, for one, will not recommend people getting married randomly without moving in together, because you truly don't know anyone unless you lived with them. That's a different beast altogether.
Yeah.
But understand that there's a process to get through it. And if you continue to communicate, you can make it through the rainy days. And on the other side of the rain is what?
A rainbow.
Boom, baby. You my rainbow.
Oh, thank you, baby. Yeah. Well, my moment of truth stems off of my soundbite earlier, which says that I am an advocate for shacking up.
Mm-hmm.
I agree. You guys should get together, see what it's like to be with somebody for an extended period of time, what their living situation is like, what their livelihoods are like, mm-hmm. inside the realms of their house. But also, too, making sure, like we've had in one of these, the breakdown here is that that's not your sole purpose moving in, is to save yes. money. You have to really like and enjoy this person's company and being mm-hmm. in their space. That should be the reason why, if anything, you guys are looking to be in a relationship, one, and then move in together. It yes. should not just be under the constraints of making it formal, where it's just for saving purposes or for other motives or other reasons. Genuinely wanting to be around and loving to be in a space with somebody is a really good starting point for then deciding if moving in is right or not. Okay. Okay. And now I'm going to move in to letting y'all go. All right. So we can move on with the day. Go ahead and follow us on social media. At Deadass the Podcast on social media. And then I am Kadeen. I am.
And I am DeVal. And if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, be sure to rate, review, and subscribe.
Deadass, y'all.
And if your wife changes your toilet paper, you can go to any local CVS and get the little ointment packets for free. Just tell them that you got some issues and you don't got to pay for it. You heard that here first. Deadass. No, sore ass.
We need a partnership with Charmin. Somebody hook that up, all right?
Dead Ass is a production of iHeartMedia Podcast Network and is produced by Denora Pena and Tribble. Follow the podcast on social media at Dead Ass the Podcast and never miss a thing.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay.
And me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Hey there. I'm Dr. Maya Shunker, and I'm a scientist who studies human behavior. Many of us have experienced a moment in our lives that changes everything, that instantly divides our life into a before and an after. On my podcast, A Slight Change of Plans, I talk to people about navigating these moments. Their stories are full of candor and hard-won wisdom. And you'll hear from scientists who teach us how we can be more resilient in the face of change. Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.